reading into something isn't bad unless it's just not there to begin with. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst, and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Glad to be with you, and I always marvel at the things people read when they read between the lines, and it's obvious they have no ability to do so.
Well, the sad part about it is, Charles, is that many of these people aren't necessarily reading between the lines. They're reading and then basically making it up as they go along in order to try to make a point. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've been with us, you know that we're talking politics, and it's obvious. And we are, as I laugh with Chuck off air, equal opportunity offenders. We had a little bit of a hit over the last week on some of the supporters of the Romney campaign. Now we're going to take a look at and take a couple of hits at supporters of the Obama campaign. And Chuck, I don't think anybody deserves quite as big a hit from our analysis as the Reverend Jim Wallet, who is the founder and director of a organization called Sojourners, and who is one of President Obama's chief spiritual advisors. Now, the good Reverend Wallace, in his Sojourners website, sojo.net, has written in his Hearts and Minds column a interesting little screed called Caring for the Poor is Government's Biblical Role. That's funny, Chuck. I've read the Bible, well, more than a couple of times, and I seem to have come away with the impression, maybe it's just me, that caring for the poor was first designated to the family and then to the church, if the family couldn't provide or wasn't there in the case of a widow or an orphan. Nowhere in Scripture do I see, infer, or am able to read into the text that government is primarily responsible for caring for the poor. Am I just misreading the Bible, Chuck?
Well, first of all, I want to say I never miss an opportunity to metaphorically, not physically, but metaphorically give Jim Wallace or the Sojourners a good smack because of this kind of eisegesis, if you read this article. And the fact is, no, you have not misread your Bible, but it's very clear that Jim Wallace has. And he's done so in such a way as he has read things into it. We have a good mutual friend on the policy board who's a pastor up in Knox County.
Yes.
Sasha Volacord, who, when asked about this kind of thing, says, when the Bible doesn't speak, don't make it say something it doesn't say.
That's right.
And that's exactly what Wallace has done here. Wallace essentially stretches and eisegetes the 13th chapter of Romans, that whole section on governmental authority and the civil magistrate, and he somehow turns it into using the sword to plunder the rich and feed the poor. Well, that's not what Christ said at all. And if you read virtually the entirety of the Old Testament, it's all about personal responsibility to feed the poor.
That's correct.
The entirety of the law is you're supposed to not, let's remember that the Old Testament is case law, and that means it's examples. And those examples are there to provide guidance on how to literally legislate the laws on how to make those kinds of things happen. So what were you supposed to do to feed the poor? Do you remember this? I know you do because you're a Presbyterian elder. You didn't get there waving a magic wand. What were you supposed to do to help feed the poor?
Well, first of all, let's go back a little bit. It's supposed to be in your own household because the Scripture says that those who do not care for their own, provide for their own, or especially those of their own household, have denied the faith and are worse than an infidel. So the provision is supposed to come from the family first for the poor. And then if not, then it is the church's duty through the tithe agency to feed the widows and the orphan, those who are in distress.
And sure, and there's also the gleaning.
And gleaning, that's right. In the Old Testament, it was the gleaning of the field, leaving the edges of your field unharvested so that the poor may eat.
And anybody who's read the book of Ruth, Ruth was a gleaner.
That's correct.
And she showed up and made it clear that she was interested in matrimony with Boaz, but she hadn't met him up to this point. I think that's the whole idea of the kinsman redeemer. Naomi had sent her, and he will allow you to glean in the field. And that was the whole point, because they were the widows and the fatherless. And that's the whole point behind the gleaning laws. And the bottom line on the gleaning laws is, Barry, it's voluntary.
Exactly.
It was not mandatory.
Never has been and never will be, according to God's word.
But according to Wallace and this crew, the purpose of government is not the protection of the rights of the individual, but in fact, the provision for the individual, which gets government to attempt to usurp God's position. That is providence.
Well, and this is how Jim Wallace, shall we say, creatively interprets God's word. He specifically looks at Romans chapter 13, Chuck, which we've talked right. about extensively on this program. And he says, basically, Paul says that the government's purposes are twofold. I'm quoting from Wallace's article. To restrain evil by punishing evildoers and to serve peace and orderly conduct by rewarding good behavior. Civil authority is designed to be, quote, God's servant for your good, Romans 13:4. And here's where he starts reading into
right.
it. Today we might say, quote, the common good, unquote, is to be the focus and goal of government. Now, I'm sorry, but Chuck, the common good? Jim Wallace is going off on a very thin limb right here about that whole concept. And then he starts sawing the limb behind him by saying, the purpose of government, according to Paul, is to protect and promote. Protect from the evil and promote the good. Okay, so far he hasn't started really cutting into the limb yet. But he says,
right.
And we are even instructed to pay taxes for those purposes. So to disparage government per se, to see government as the central problem in society, is simply not a biblical proposition. Well, first and foremost, how many people have actually said that government is the central problem in our society? Now,
well,
only radical anarchists that I could think of would say that government, per se, is the central problem of society. If we just didn't have any government, everything would be fine.
And this is where Christian constitutionalists differ from libertarians.
That's
because libertarians do believe in anarchy. They believe in a system wherein everything is done by individual contract. And as you and I have asked libertarians every time this argument comes up, really, who's going to enforce the contract? The fact is that contracts between individuals are as good as the individuals. And when the individuals are no good, there are two ways you can enforce a contract. You can have a rule of law where you take it to court and a judge decides if the contract is valid or not. Or you can play 1920 Chicago. And whoever has the most hand grenades, machine guns, and men can go around and attempt to enforce the contract on their own. Those are the only two choices you got. Under the libertarian system, I realize this is a tangent, but under the libertarian system, there is no court.
That's true.
The strong arm wins the fight.
Well, and Wallace kind of goes there too with the court system because he basically says that governments need to protect the people judicially. Okay, that's not a problem. And to make sure our legal and court systems are procedurally just and fair. Okay, so far he's okay here. But then what he does is he flips this a little bit, Chuck. And he says, along with protecting, what should governments promote? The prophets hold kings, rulers, judges, and even employers accountable to the demands of justice and fairness. That's where I've got to stop him right there.
Yeah.
I challenge any of our listeners to point out to me where in Scripture the word fairness is ever used. Because fairness is not a biblical concept. Justice is a biblical concept. Equity is a biblical concept. Fairness is not. Fairness is a socialist concept.
Well, okay, let's get down to this. What Wallace is doing is equivocating on terms.
Yes, he is.
Because true justice is fair.
That's, yeah, well, exactly, in the best sense of the word.
But fairness does not mean that we all start from scratch and redistribute all the wealth, and if somebody gets ahead, you go back through and grab that and redistribute it again. And that's what Wallace is talking about.
Yeah, and he also quotes leftist evangelical Ron Sider, who I'm sure many Christians have read his Rich Christians in an Age of Hunger, which honestly is a book that promotes Marxism bathed in Christian terminology.
Which, by the way, has been rewritten now, I think, 7 times, because I think the first five editions that came out were destroyed. And I mean exegetically destroyed by a guy named Ron Chilton, who has now passed away.
David Chilton, actually.
Yeah, I'm sorry, David Chilton. Yes. I don't know who Ron Chilton is.
David
Chilton, who destroyed his position exegetically in a book called
Successful Christians in an Age of Guilt Manipulators.
Yeah. Successful Christians in an Age of Guilt Manipulators.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at that book on my bookshelf right now, as a matter of fact. But
I have both a copy of Sider's book.
Yes.
And Chilton's reply. And let me tell you that it's very easy to see why Chilton rewrote the book each time that Sider replied to it, because Sider simply destroyed, Sider's position was destroyed by Chilton each time.
It was. And folks, you can find that book, Dave Chilton's book, on the Principal Policy bookstore page.
I believe that's correct. And if it isn't, we'll get it up there.
But basically, as I mentioned, Jim Wallace quotes Ron Sider in this. And Sider says, "The biblical understanding of justice includes procedural and distributive aspects." Then he talks about distributive justice, and he means fair outcome. Is a central part of justice is evident not from the hundreds of texts about God's concern for the poor, but also of the key meaning of the key Hebrew words for justice, mishpat and tzedakah. Now, Chuck, this is interesting because what he doesn't do is actually give you any specific biblical reference. He just talks about the hundreds of texts and the meaning of this word, but he doesn't specifically spell out where actually this whole idea of distributive justice actually appears in Scripture, and the answer is it doesn't.
Well, look at what Wallace attempts here. And what he attempts to say is that fair outcomes do not, notice that Sider says fair outcomes and not equal outcomes. The political right's continuing accusation against all who would hold government accountable for justice is that we are really aiming for equal outcomes from public policy, but that simply is not true. I'm sorry, Barry, that's a lie.
Well, it is. It is a lie because that's part and parcel of the Obama administration's push right now, and that is to put everybody on the same playing field, well, except for those who are in political power.
That's right, and we're not talking about, and now, when he's talking about judicial action, what he means is actually using the courts to rob from the rich to give to the poor. What this does, Barry, what they're saying is that God's providence is really not good enough.
That's correct.
Now, it's what's going on here is the idea. We would both agree that they're the dishonest among us. No doubt about that. And justice requires that those who get rich by stealing need to biblically, although we don't do this in our society, biblically need to repay, and they need to repay usually depending on the crime, but usually it's double.
Yes, absolutely, at least.
And in some cases, it's five times. It just depends on the crime, and we won't go into the minutiae of the law. But the fact is that the dishonest are supposed to pay for their crimes by restitution. And in fact, what we do is instead we let them keep their riches and we send them to jail. Okay. In some cases, for instance, Michael Milken made, $500 million, spent a few years in jail, and got to keep his fortune.
Yes, indeed.
What's wrong with this picture? You know, he paid a fine to the government. Is that judicially fair? No. But the fact is that guys like Michael Milken also did some good, and that got covered up. The fact is that a lot of companies started out on junk bonds.
Well, and those would be those companies and others that Jim Wallace thinks it's unfair to allow not to be under the thumb of government. As we talked about, government should provide a check on powerful people, institutions, and interests in the society that, if left unchecked, might run over their fellow citizens, the economy, and certainly the poor. Well, he puts that out there with absolutely no proof or any kind of documentation as to where that specifically is an actual occurrence.
Well, in the book of Proverbs, it says, do not show favoritism to the poor in court.
And do not be any respecter of persons. Now, most Christians take that and that idea of the man dressed in rich robes being given a preeminent place in the service in the church, and the poor person being set in the back, and that's what they think about. But the whole key is, it says, do not give any preference to any person. Which means, now, that is the equality, because we're all created in God's image. And then from that, then we work through to get to the heart, the soul motive of the individual and their circumstances.
Right. And that's the problem, Barry. Now, unfortunately, we're running short on time, so I think we're going to come back tomorrow and finish up the discussion. But
yes,
let's just start out and let's just say that Mr. Wallace has not been honest in this piece. He may be honest to his political philosophy, but he has not been honest to the Scriptures.
Now, that's true. And Chuck, on the next couple of programs, we're going to look at some analysis of this and also look at how the Jim Wallace theology actually is being played out in the Obama administration.
Very good. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.